So today we'll be focusing on the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And like many of you, I've read through the story of the prodigal son a number of times. As a matter of fact, I've read through it so many times, it's a very familiar passage. And the problem with a familiar passage is sometimes we don't go as deep as we should into that passage. We kind of gloss over it. And the prodigal son is an interesting story. And when I hear most preachers preach on the prodigal son, they really focus on the lost son. Almost exclusively, they focus on that one person in this story. And the reality is this story is so much deeper. It's so much richer. And there's really three people in this story, and we'll talk in depth about those three people. But there are two key messages that we need to get out of this story, and not just the one that's usually focused on. And I had a seminary professor tell me once, you know, Pete, when the Bible tells you something, you need to pay attention. And if the Bible repeats itself, you need to really pay attention. But if the Bible says it three times, then you need to memorize it. You need to commit it to your life. Because it's super important. And what we see out of the prodigal son is the story of the prodigal son comes at a point in Jesus' teaching when he's gathered the disciples around him and he does this long discourse on different parables and he's teaching them. So for multiple chapters, he's talking about all of these parables. And then we get to this set of three parables. And Jesus is going to talk about the lost sheep, he's going to talk about the lost coin, and then he's going to talk about the prodigal son. And all three of these stories are focused on one key message, and that is that God rejoices when he finds the lost. God celebrates it when the lost are returned back to him. And that's such a key message. And he says it in the parable of the lost sheep. He says it in the parable of the lost coin. And then he talks about it even more in the story of the prodigal son. And so that message of how God celebrates the lost is something I think is so important for us as we head into 2017. What does that mean for us as a church? What does it mean for us individually in our relationship with God? So let's begin by reading this story. So you can join with me in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. Now it's interesting there is that he's not even waiting till his father dies. He's like, no, give me my inheritance now. And it says, and he divided his property between them. So his father grants his request. Now, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before you I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." Now, what I'd like to do is kind of focus in for a moment on the people in this story. And let's start with the younger son. First off is that in Deuteronomy 21, it talks about inheritance. And so in the nation of Israel, when they divided up the property as an inheritance, the firstborn would receive a double portion, and then the rest would be divided up equally. And so this son is going to receive a third of his father's property. And what we see in this story is that he goes off and squanders everything right away. And that he doesn't plan for the future. When the famine comes up, he has nothing left. He hasn't looked ahead into what's going to happen next. He's just living in the moment. And how many of you in your life have experienced this, where you're living for the enjoyment of the moment, and you're not planning ahead, you're not looking ahead into the future? And then it says he goes and works with the pigs. And we know from Leviticus 11, it talks about the unclean animals. Pigs are an unclean animal to the people of Israel. And so this story shows the depth that this son has fallen. Is that here he is having to work with animals that God considers unclean. In Levi 11, Leviticus 11, it says that you can't even touch a pig without being unclean for some period of time. And so this is how far the son has fallen, is that he's having to work with these unclean animals. But it gets worse. Because he's so bankrupt, he's so at the point where he's lost everything, that he's longing to eat what the pigs eat. That's how far he's fallen in his life. And how many of us, before coming back to the Father, reach that same point as well? And then when he hits bottom, he remembers his father. I don't know about you, but I have a number of sons. It seems like they always wait until they're in trouble about as far as they can, and then they remember dad. So he feels he has completely lost his relationship with his father, and he begins to rehearse what he's going to say to his father. He's like, "Father, I know I'm not your son anymore, but will you at least take me back as a servant?" He feels like he's lost that relationship that he had with his father, that he can't return home in the same status that he was before. And worse is that he's willing to settle for being a servant. He's giving up his right as a son and is willing to really settle for being a servant for his father and his family. And let's take a look at the older son. The older son would receive 2/3 of the inheritance. So he's getting double what his younger son would have gotten, or the younger son would have had. And really none of them deserved it. This is something they're receiving for nothing. This is just a blessing from their father. And he could do anything he wanted with his share. And what's interesting is that when the son returns, it says he was working out in the field, which means he really wasn't looking for his brother the way his father was. He got angry and he didn't go to see his brother or talk to his father. He never celebrated the return of his brother who was lost and is now found. And it's interesting, if you look in this passage, let me find the verse. Verse 30. He says, "But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." Do you notice the language, "this son of yours"? He doesn't make that association, "my brother," anymore. He's like, "No, this guy over here." Stacy and I do this all the time. You know, if our daughter gets into trouble, I'll often say, "Well, your daughter Ashley, you need to go talk with her." It's the same kind of thing. He's putting some distance between him and his brother. And I'm sure most of us can relate to that. Now, let's take a look at the father. It's interesting to note that it says that he was looking for the younger son. He saw him when he was far off. Listen, if you're going to see something out on the horizon, you have to be looking for it, or you're not going to notice it. He received him with grace and forgiveness, compassion. Think about if your child took a third of everything that you had and went off and just squandered it and then came back. What would your first words be? What would be in your heart? What's interesting is he never lost sight of what his younger son meant to him. The way he received him, the way he spoke with him, he never lost sight of his son's worth, of his son's value. And he celebrated his son's return. But it's also interesting to look at how the father responded to the older son. Is that when the older son got angry and he stormed off, it says he sought the older son. He sought him out. He pursued him. And he confirmed who the older son is and his relationship with the father. He reminded him that you are with me always. And that word is so important, that always. We always have this relationship. It will always be there. There's a permanence there. And the father reminds him of that relationship. And then he countered his son's response when the older son, "this your son," the father comes back and says, "this your brother." He focused on the importance of their relationship as well. It's not just the relationship between the father and the younger son or the father and the older son. The father was focused on the relationship between the older son and the younger son. And it's not about my son, it's about your brother was lost and now he's found. The father reminds him of the importance of that relationship between the two brothers. And he didn't lose sight of the worth of either son. He didn't focus on the lost son so much that he didn't notice when the older son ran away. He was watching them both. He pursued them both. He responded to what each of them needed to hear in that moment, that they're loved by their father, they're accepted by their father, that their worth is still there, their value is still there. And the question is, how can we apply this story to our lives? See, when Jesus was telling this story and the ones preceding it about the lost sheep and the lost coin, he was really talking to two groups of people. He was talking to this set of disciples, and that set of disciples was really had two sets of people in it. Those that had already started to believe in who Jesus Christ was, and those who hadn't. And so there's really two groups of people. It's like if I took this half of the church and you're still in that camp of saying, "Well, I don't know who this Jesus is. I'm just trying to figure out whether I'm going to follow him, whether I'm going to believe in him." And then there's this other group over here. You're already committed. You're bought in. And Jesus is talking to both of them. And we see both of those groups are represented in this story. The younger son represents that group of people who haven't come into a relationship with God yet, who haven't come into a relationship with Christ, who are off pursuing what they want to do. They're living a reckless life. They're off doing whatever they want, and God is waiting for them to return to him. And then you've got this older son who represents the church. And I want to dive into that a little bit more. So when we look at that younger son, it represents the lost, the sinners. Like so many of us, this younger son loses sight of what's truly important. He takes what his father gives him and he goes off and he just spends it wildly. He doesn't live a good life. He doesn't live a life that makes him feel good about who he is and who God's created him to be. Instead, he goes off and squanders everything and gets to a point where all of a sudden he finds himself wallowing in the mud with pigs and wondering how he got there. And how many of us in our lives did this same thing? We thought we had it all understood. We thought we were going to live a good life, and we were off doing whatever we wanted, when the reality was we were heading towards destruction. We were wallowing with pigs. And we could feel God calling to us to say, come home. We could feel God speaking into our lives, saying, there's something better. I have something better for you. And like this son, we became selfish. We became self-centered, and we began to sin. And the problem is our sin leads us to lose sight of our worth to God. It makes us begin to question our value to God. Just like the son in this story, he began to say, you know, I can't go back as a son, I'll go back as a servant. How many of us are afraid to go back to God? We feel like we've sinned so much that God would never forgive us. That's exactly who this younger son is representing. And the problem is, when we get into that state, we're willing to settle for less than what God wanted for us. Rather than being a child of God and learning to walk in that, we're willing to settle for something less, much less. And I remember my mom contracted lung cancer. And so there are a number of months there where we knew she was going to pass away. And as I sit, you know, talking with her about her relationship with God, and she struggled so much with, will God ever forgive me? So many of us are in that same point in our lives. Will God ever forgive me for the things I've done? And what's so beautiful about the Bible is that it teaches us time and time again the heart of God. And it shows us the heart of God over and over again, that God is willing to forgive. One of the greatest joys I had was being able to sit with my mom and talk to her about verses like these. In 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So what we learn in this story and in the other stories of the Bible is that God's waiting to receive you home again. He's waiting to celebrate your return. He's wanting to restore you back into a relationship with him to be his son or his daughter. He has a place for you in his home. And he will always have a place for you in his home. There's a permanence there, something that will last forever. But I also want to focus on, especially as we head into 2017, I want to focus on the older son, the church. What is God telling us this morning? What is it that we're supposed to do? And if we look at the older son, we see that he's working hard, doing right things. How many of you are working hard for this church? You're doing right things in Sunday school and on worship, and you're doing right things in Bible studies. But at the same time, you've lost sight of what's really important, the lost. The older brother was working hard out in the yard or out in the field, and he didn't see his brother returning. And when his brother was returned, he didn't receive him with grace and compassion and love. He became selfish also. He didn't celebrate when his lost brother returned. He put a distance between himself and his brother. How many of us put a distance between us and the sinners out there? People that are walking in sin. We see time and time again that Jesus made the effort, that Jesus reached out to those people. And as the church, what is it that God's telling us we need to do? The older son wanted to be celebrated also. And as the church, we can lose sight of what's truly important, and what's important is the lost. Jesus sought the sinners out. He continually made the effort to reach out to them, and he made them a priority in his ministry. He sought out the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and the sinners, and he welcomed them. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And we're called into that same ministry, to seek and to save the lost. Now, we can't save them, but we have a Christ that goes with us that can. And if we don't tell them, how will they know? If we don't share with them, how will they find their way back to the Father? And if we look at the Father, there's a couple things I want to point out. First is that he always sees us. He saw the younger son when he was afar off, and he saw the older son when he was angry and moving away. He's ready to receive us. He's ready to forgive us. And he celebrates our return to him. He pursued not only the younger son, but the older son, and he affirmed both sons and who they are to him. He showed the proper response to both sons. And he reminded the older son of the importance of his relationship with his brother. And so my questions for the church are, as we head into 2017, how many of us have lost sight of what's important? Are we looking with anticipation for the return of the lost? What are we doing to help them? See, Jesus taught three parables in a row about the importance of the lost to drive it home to his disciples, the importance of continually looking and looking with passion, looking with energy, making the effort to find the lost and helping them come home. That, I think, is the message for us in 2017. And the other question that I have is, when they do return, are we there to receive them? Do we tell them of their worth to God and to the church? Do we celebrate them? Do we welcome them home? Or do we focus on the work of the church and get angry when no one celebrates us? I also wonder, do we put a distance between us and them, the way the older son tried to do with his younger brother? And if we talk about issues of today, if we talk about differences in generations, how many of us are reaching out across the generations to build those relationships? If I asked you, could you sit down with someone who's a homosexual and have a conversation with them, showing them the love and the grace of God, could you do it? And I'm not asking you to accept their lifestyle, because we know what sin is in the Bible. But I'm asking you, can you love them? Can you be gracious to them? when we look at people who have a criminal background, can we receive them with grace and with compassion the way the Father did with his sons? See, God is calling us to seek and to save the lost, to make the effort. What's interesting in this story is I don't know which of the two that you are. Are you the younger son? Are you someone that hasn't started a relationship with Christ yet? Or are you the older son? Someone that's in the church. You've been doing right things. You're in right relationship with the Father. But you're not looking for the lost. You're not celebrating their return. And only you can say which of those two that you are. But I believe that's the message that God has for us today. For that first group, God's message is, come home. I'm ready to receive you. I'm ready to celebrate you. I'm ready to tell you who you are and what you mean to me. I'm ready to receive you back. I have a place for you. And if you're the older son, God is saying to you, you're always with me. You have value. You're my son. And we need to celebrate. Look at the way he ended this story. He said, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this, your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It's fitting for us to be glad when the lost come back into a relationship with the Father. That, I think, is our focus in 2017. Do we celebrate the lost? Do we welcome them home? So I don't know where you're at today, whether you're the younger son or you're the older son, or the younger daughter or older daughter, as however it applies. But I want to take a moment before we take communion. Communion is a point where the believers celebrate what God has done for them through his son, Jesus Christ. It's a way to remember Jesus being broken on the cross for us, dying on the cross for us. And if you're not a believer yet, then I would ask that you pass this by. Wait until you've made your decision whether you're going to follow Christ. But if you're hearing this message today and saying, you know what, I don't have a relationship with God and I don't have that relationship with Christ yet, but I feel God calling me to come home, there is nothing stopping you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can at any moment say, Father, I want to come home to you. And I want to take a moment before we start communion and just pray. If that's you and you want that relationship with God, then just follow after me in this prayer, and today you can return home. Father, we just come before you. I ask, Father, that you would forgive me my sins. God, I thank you that you're willing to accept me. I thank you that you're willing to forgive me. And I thank you, God, that I am your son. I pray, God, that we would enter into a relationship that'll last forever. And I thank you, God, for what you've done for me through your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.